What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network.
Green Edison!
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims, Walker!
It is great to be talking football right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking NFL, talking training camps. George, a lot to get to. Aaron Rodgers touches down in Green Bay for the start of camp. We have the situation with Deshaun Watson, a lot of other developments. But I want to leave with an interesting story out of Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, number one draft pick last year, injured with his ACL, is cleared to play, will not practice, not play in the preseason. Benefit or detriment for the 2021 Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor?
I'm not a fan of this. You know, I do think the player should play somewhat. I mean, Burrow could be a different case. Are they telling us then that he's not completely healthy? You know, so are they telling us that without telling us that? So he's only a second-year player. And by a second-year player, he didn't even play a full first year. So you need as much game action as you can possibly get here. Everything we've been told is that the recovery is fine. He had knee surgery on December 2nd. So that was only, 8 months ago? You know, so I'm a little concerned here. I'm not going to, start raising red flags and banging drums here and go, oh, my God, this is terrible. But I'm a little surprised that they don't want him to play at all. I think this is just an abundance of caution, but I would prefer he play.
Well, you see the situation with the offensive line, right? Offensive line was banged up. You can make the argument that they should have went for Penei Sewell, which was drafted by Detroit, coming out of Oregon, offensive tackle for the Ducks, just one of the best offensive linemen in last year's draft. You could say they should have solidified the offensive line to protect Joe Burrow. So is that a concern? The other concern that I have for this is what you said in terms of he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He's not a Matt Stafford that's been in the league for 10-plus years, right? He's a second-year guy, still getting acclimated with the offensive philosophy, still getting acclimated with the pieces around him. Now, they did draft Ja'Marr Chase, his teammate at LSU, so he has that quarterback-to-wide receiver relationship, but you have T. Higgins there. You have Tyler Boyd. This is an offense that's really supposed to carry this team, right? The defense, statistically, was one of the worst in the NFL last year, and when you look at their win total, on FanDuel right now at 6.5 at plus 100. I'm not so sure that that helps that team get over the hump in 2021.
I agree. Listen, you're not going to fix everything you need in one offseason. I think you made a very astute point there that I might have taken Sewell in the first round there. You need your franchise quarterback. You have to protect him. He's coming up a major injury, and you went wide receiver. I understand he also needs weapons, but he had weapons. You know, yes, his weapons are better now, but he had good weapons no matter what you did. Boyd and Higgins would have been there. That's damn good. So you gave him another wide receiver. That's great, too. I understand that. But I think I probably would have gone the offensive line. But once again, I think a lot of people fall in love with the fact that, you know, if you go offensive line, Sewell's great, maybe a Hall of Fame player, but it's not sexy. in the draft. It's not. You know, the wide receiver, that's sexy. You can sell that. You know, it's hard to sell an offensive lineman. So I think I'm not saying it's an error, because I think, once again, I think they did well in the draft. You know, and they're going to get a great wide receiver. They're going to have a great offense. But that defense, it's another team that might be a lot of overs this year. A lot of 31-28 games coming, because I don't see them winning any other way.
Yeah, we'd like to welcome in our Sports Map radio audience, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Usually they're listening to Scotty Farrell right now. So, Scotty on vacation in California, we have you covered talking NFL training camps. We're talking about the situation with Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Is it a benefit or a detriment that he plays in the preseason? George and I both believe that you need that quarterback to wide receiver continuity heading into week one. And their week one game, George, is not easy. They're a 3.5-point underdog to the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins, a team that I'm high on. So they need to hit the ground running. So we'll see. I mean, this is not going to be an easy schedule for Cincinnati. And more importantly, this could be dead man walking in Zach Taylor.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I don't know anybody who's really a big fan of Zach Taylor and his coaching method philosophy here. We've talked about this before. We're neither one of us are big fans either. And we say they get up to a tough start for a schedule. Well, they're still not a good team. Every team's going to be tough for them.
Wouldn't you say, George, 6.5 for them?
I mean, I think Minnesota's the better team. It is at home. So, no, I don't. I think it's about right. I don't feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to bet on Cincinnati's game, or I'm going to bet on Minnesota. I lean towards betting on Minnesota if I'm going to take this game. Maybe it'll be a teaser more than anything else and get that down to a half in Minnesota's favor. I don't see Minnesota losing this game. But Cincinnati, if they lose this, then they're on the road the next 2 weeks after. I don't think Chicago's all that great a team, but still, you're on the road. You're not going to be a favorite over anybody on the road. Then you get Pittsburgh before things get a little easier. Jacksonville, you do play Green Bay, but then you get at Detroit. If things go well, you think about it. If they can beat Minnesota first game at home, you can beat Chicago, so they're not that great. I don't think you beat Pittsburgh, but beat Jacksonville. Then you got Detroit a couple of weeks later, the Jets a couple of weeks later. They can get off to a good start.
Yeah, even more so why you would want Joe Burrow playing in the preseason. We're just getting started. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz breaking down Aaron Rodgers next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down NFL training camp talk. The biggest news of the day, Aaron Rodgers reports to the Green Bay Packer facility at 8:28 Central Time. George, everything's hunky-dory in Green Bay. Let's get it wrapped, loaded for a division title and a possible Super Bowl run for Rodgers and the crew.
Hunky dory, yeah, sure, that's what it is. We think that's what it is. He's there. That's great news. Did not dig the sunglasses he was wearing this morning. Boy, those like I don't know what those things were. Definitely not my type of thing. But anyway, he's there. We all heard the news yesterday. They worked out some agreements, some adjustments to his contract. It looks like they shaved a year off is really what it comes down to. So now the Packers only have him through 23, which people think it may be 22. Maybe this is his last year. Then he gets to decide where he wants to go next year or whatever agreement they put in place between them that we're not going to know about, because there are certain things there. A gentleman's agreement between him, the agent, and the team that they can't put in a contract. The NFL won't allow it, so it's just what the team and Rodgers agreed to. Most important is he's going to play this season, right? That's the most important thing. It looks like also Davante Adams might, he showed up, and he's talking long-term contract again, although I don't think it'll be long-term, because if I'm Davante, unless you're going to make me the number one paid wide receiver, and I mean structured to be the number one paid where I'm going to get that money, I don't know if I want to be in Green Bay once Aaron Rodgers is gone. You know, you don't know what that's going to be like there. So I think that's good for this year. I think the Packers are now back on, back back online here. I think yesterday they were, what, plus 150 before the Rodgers thing to win the division. Now they were minus 140 last time I checked. That even might have changed to make it worse. I'm sure Chicago's not happy. Detroit's not happy. Minnesota's definitely not happy that Rodgers is back. But as you said, everything looks hunky-dory here for now. But if Rodgers is still on this team next year and it's not by his choice, we're going to do this all again.
Yeah, they're singing Kumbaya. They're, you know, they have their division championship title run in place. Everybody just assumes the Green Bay Packers are going to be there. Rodgers is there. This smells to me. I'm sorry. It smells from a unity perspective. It smells just from the team aspect. I don't care that he reported. It to me, it just smells in the sense of, all right, he's getting what he wants, right? Everybody agrees. Give Aaron Rodgers what he wants. He deserves it. He's got the Super Bowl. He can write his ticket. But from the team aspect, really, I think it's a detriment. I really do. Now, FanDuel did post a 10 win total on them this morning. They're minus 150. But I got to be honest with you. You know, I went through their schedule yesterday from last year. 13-3, right? Dynamic run by Aaron Rodgers. MVP season just lit it up. They only beat two winning teams all year. Two winning teams all year. They beat New Orleans, and they beat Tennessee at the end of the year. That's it. They lost to Indianapolis. They lost to Tampa Bay in the regular season. Was this really a dominant team last year? Let's be honest. Was this a dominant team when you see all the other teams in their division sub-500? I mean, can we really say that this team's just going to roll to the championship game?
Roll to a championship game? No. I don't think we can say that. But you can only play your schedule. I don't know how many playoff teams were on their schedule last year. I mean, what's the worst they're going to do in their division? 4-2? Yeah, well, they're going to beat Detroit twice. I think they're going to beat Chicago twice, but I can see them losing one game to Chicago, one game to Minnesota if you want to put it 4-2. I can see 5-1, you know, so they're going to beat those guys. The schedule, if you look at our playoff teams that we think could be playoff teams this year, they play San Fran, Pittsburgh, Washington, Zona, Kansas City, Seattle. The schedule's a little tougher. Seattle, the Rams. Looks like they played the NFC West, Baltimore, Cleveland. So the schedule's a little tougher.
It's a lot harder than it was last year. It was a lot harder than it was last year. Here's the thing, though, George.
Are we asking that much for 10 wins?
All right, 10 wins, that's great. They'll be 10-7 if they get to that total. Let's say they're 12-5. Okay, that's good. You look at last year, though. They started out, they beat Minnesota, beat Detroit. They beat New Orleans 37-30 in a thriller, beat Atlanta. They lose to Tampa Bay after they started 10-0, right? Remember, he was doing the discount double-check move after he scored that touchdown, and then all of a sudden, 38 unanswered points later, they lose that matchup 38-10. They follow that up against Deshaun Watson 35-20. I mean, they lose to Minnesota last year. That was the big Dalvin Cook game, right, where he had a 50-yard reception, big run in that matchup. They beat San Francisco without their quarterback, Jacksonville, and then they lose that thriller to Indianapolis. So when you look at their body of work from last year, yeah, Rodgers had a dynamic season, but he feasted on subpar competition. This year's going to be a different animal, and more importantly, if the team is not dialed in, 100% dialed in, and I mean Aaron Rodgers and everyone else, if somebody's checked out, that team's not just going to roll like hitting on all cylinders throughout the 2021 season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not all that worried about it. I think they'll play fine. I think they're a good, solid team. Do I think they're going 12-5? I don't know about that. I think that's a high end. That being said, I'd probably put them on the 11 win. They're a good team. I think their defense still can be somewhat suspect. Rodgers will score points. We know that, right? That the offense is going to score. Good running game, good offensive line. Rodgers, good quarterback. Yes, like most people, I would love to see a secondary wide receiver show up there that we like. You know, we're still waiting for one of those guys to, you know, to truly break out. Maybe it's Amari, you know, the rookie. Probably not this year. MVS, you know, I know he loves Lazard. You know, another thing we heard that was weird, that was reported. I don't know how true this could possibly be, but that Rodgers also wants them to acquire Randall Cobb again.
Why would he want that?
Right.
See, and I understand.
A good year since 15.
Exactly.
6 years. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go, Aaron.
I don't understand that. Isn't that the sense of entitlement, though? Isn't that really the sense of entitlement? And I think when you look at the great quarterbacks, I mean, if we compare Rodgers to Brady, even at the end of his career in New England, would Brady request that type of player? He was all about the team, Brady. He was all about winning championships. That's the difference to me between Rodgers and Tom Brady. And that's why Brady has seven and he only has one.
Well, Brady also wanted to get the hell out of there. So that's a great comparison.
Brady wanted to prove that it wasn't Bill, that it was him. And that's
Brady's an angry man. He was an angry man. He was mad at everybody. Unless he was sixth round, he had so many chips on his shoulder, which I think he still has, which is why it makes him so great, because he still plays with that anger.
Exactly.
That people don't respect him. It's weird. You know, listen, Rodgers can go for that, too. There were, 30 teams that passed over him in that draft. But that being said, it's a sense of entitlement, which, yes, on its face, I think it is. But I think it's also Rodgers' way of saying, I need this kind of player. That sort of thing. You know, I wouldn't want Randall Cobb back if I'm Rodgers. I mean, the guy's well past his prime.
He's got Amari Rodgers now. I mean, the speedster out of Clemson,
he's a pocket rocket. You don't know how that's going to work out. I do think Rodgers is the type of guy, though, that, oh, great, a rookie, thanks. You know, and not a top rookie. You know, I think he'd be that kind of guy.
You think he would?
I think he would, yeah. That it would take
well, let
it out
me ask you this, George,
not give
quickly.
A true chance.
Let me ask you this before we go to break. He's a 10-1 shot to win the NFL MVP. There's only been one quarterback over the last 20 years to do it. He did it twice in terms of back-to-back seasons. Want to take a guess on who it is?
Tom?
Manning, Peyton. Did it in 08 and 09 and 03 and 04, back-to-back years. You think Rodgers has a shot at 10-1?
I think he's got a shot, sure. Do I think he'll win it? Probably not. I mean, so many good quarterbacks are going to have so many good years, especially in a 17-game season. There'll be records that are broken this year with that 17 games. Maybe it's Rodgers who breaks them. It wouldn't shock me, but you know, it could easily be Brady, Russell Wilson, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson rushes for 1,500 yards. I mean, there'd be weird stuff that's going to happen this year because Dak Prescott could have some monster numbers. So you go on and on with quarterbacks that could have big names. I would bet no. He's certainly got a shot, but I also think that there's some bias against voting with somebody in back-to-back years.
I agree with that. When we come back, we'll be talking about the running backs. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation in terms of the NFL training camps, we talked about Aaron Rodgers. Going to turn our attention to the running backs now. And the New York Giants, Joe Judge, the head coach, says that they're going to actually limit Saquon Barkley in practice. They're going to take a long-term approach, George, in terms of giving him carries and, more importantly, actually extending him throughout the preseason. And I wanted to bring this up. Are we starting to see a changing of the guard in terms of the running backs, not just with Saquon, but all in all, when you look at the draft picks of Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, both taken in the first round, I mean, there are a bevy of about 10 to 12 dynamic running backs that could really take the league by storm in 2021.
Are we starting to see a changing of the guard? I mean, I think now, are we talking in real NFL football, or are you talking about fantasy football? Because that's
no,
where it
I'm
comes
down
to. No,
I'm talking real. I'm talking real because obviously the running back was non-existent over the last 5 or 6 years for the most part. We had the top two guys, right? You had the Alvin Kamara. Last year we had Derrick Henry. But you see some other teams now. right? You see Cleveland with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. You see Carolina in terms of the dual threat, Christian McCaffrey. You have Kamara. You have Dalvin Cook. Zeke looking for a bounce back year. Saquon coming off an injury. I mean, look at Jonathan Taylor in terms of his emergence at the end of the year. There are running backs that could really break out this year. Chris Carson's another one. Under the radar type of player, dynamic player, 100,000-yard rusher, fantasy demon for the most part, but yet he just doesn't get noticed. Everybody talks about the quarterbacks, and in 2021, we've seen now a handful, about 15 solid running backs that could break out and really challenge for an MVP type of performance.
Well, I don't think so. I don't see any.
You don't think so?
No, because, I mean, first of all, 1,000 yards means nothing. I mean, really, it means nothing. You know what 1,000 yards is in a 17-game schedule? You want to guess offhand?
Yeah, it's basically like 60 yards a game for the for
less,
60, 65.
It's less than that. It's less than that in a 17-yard
game. But we're talking about players that could potentially put up 1,600 yards, 800 yards receiving, 100 receptions. Every one of those players that I named can catch the football out of the backfield, including Derrick Henry, including Najee Harris. So you can't just look at it one-dimensional anymore and say, okay, 1,000 yards means nothing. If they combine to close to, let's say, 2,500, 2,700 total yards, you now have a five-tool type of player that can lead your team to the title run. When push comes to shove, George, I'll still take the team that can run the football effectively. Look at last year in the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay ran it down Kansas City's throat with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. They rushed for over 5 yards per carry, 150 yards on the ground. That still wins championships today, no?
Well, listen, I think you bring up a very bad example of the Super Bowl last year. They didn't have to throw the football because Kansas City couldn't do anything on offense. So there's no reason to put the football in the air last year. I mean, nada. I mean, Mahomes is on the constant pressure. I mean, literally, it was like there was no offensive line there. Hike, and they're in your face automatically. So I wouldn't use that game as my example here, although I get your point. I think running is still important in certain areas. You know, Buffalo, because once again, you're going to have bad weather where you might not be able to throw the football. Denver could be like this as well. But it's a passing league. You need to be able to throw the football. I think throwing the football is still more important than running the football. It's just the way the game is made. It's what the NFL wants. It's what all the networks want. They want 41-38 games. It's what the country wants. We like high scoring games. We just do. Now your opening question was: is there a changing of the guard? No. Think of all the players you've named. You've named all the top running backs. You know, McCaffrey, Henry, Barkley, Elliott. You know, I think they're. You know, if you're going with lesser name running backs, could Najee Harris be that guy? It's his first year. It's not fair, but I think he'll make some noise. Absolutely, with that Pittsburgh offensive line is not very good. Ben came out and pretty much said that. Joe Mixon, I think, could be a top guy, but their offensive line is still a work in progress. We all love Chubb for a couple of years now. You know, Aaron Jones is there. So, no, I don't think we're going to have a changing of the guard, not yet. I don't see these younger guys replacing, you know, guys like Chris Carson. Hold on to the football, Chris. Stop fumbling the ball. You know, and once again, we're always worried about he's going to lose his job a couple of times, it seems like, each season because he puts the ball on the ground so much. So, Antonio Gibson, I don't see him as the prototypical guy. I think in this day and age, we're looking at running backs. You have to be able to catch the football nowadays. You have to be able to. It's almost as important as being able to pick up the blitz on third down. You have to be able to do it. Really, three things you have to be able to do: run the football, pick up that blitz, and catch the ball. If you can't do all three, well, then you're going to be a, I don't want to say a journey, but you're going to be a guy who doesn't play all three downs. You're going to play the first, second down, or you're going to be a third down back, whatever it matters. But, like I said, passing to me, that the game is just, it's just always going to be like that. You know, you can't hit the receivers anymore, pass 5 yards down the field. You can't, don't tackle them hard at all. You know, you hit them hard, you're going to get a 15-yard flag and one count towards a suspension. You're going to get a nice letter in the mail from Goodell. Taking out a certain amount of your paycheck there. So everything's geared towards the passing game.
No, totally agree in that sense, right? You need to be able to push the ball down the field. I agree 100% with that. But I think in terms of the playoff games, the team that runs the football more effectively, and I'm not talking about a mobile quarterback like a Kyler Murray, a Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about the team that lines up and runs it down your throat in cold weather, in a playoff run, more times than not is the team that wins. I mean, even go back to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, right, where Kansas City and San Francisco, both teams were able to run the football effectively, right? I mean, San Francisco made that title run because of that offensive line. They dominated Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. So you can't say that the running game is just non-existent. I think when you look at the running backs as a whole, collectively, entering 2021, we have a group of guys, and I just named, you're right, the top guys, right? But there's still 12 guys that can take a game over, that can change the landscape of a game, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs. And that's what we're talking about, is a playoff run, a Super Bowl caliber type of team. And that's what the difference is when you look at these running backs, as opposed to like a David Montgomery, who's a good running back, but he's just not an elite running back, right? I mean, he's just not going to take a game over the way maybe some of these other players are.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do agree with you there. It's tough in today's game. It really is. I mean, was it you and I grew up differently? Yeah, where you had to have, you had to be able to run the football. You know, the old coaches, they wanted, it was time, it was also a time of possession thing. If you ran the football, you could have the ball for 32, 34 minutes. You know, maybe even better. You know, it's how the Cowboys sort of, when they were playing well a couple of years back, how they covered for their defense. Run the ball with Zeke Elliott, maybe we'd keep the ball 36, 38 minutes. Even though our defense is terrible, it makes it much better when the other team is still one-dimensional. They don't have the football, we score points, they have to throw. You know, then it covers for your defense, but you know the other team has to be able to throw the football to catch up. You know, the game has changed. You want to argue it's better or worse, say, we can have that argument all day long here. But it's changed, and I think it's changed for, probably worse for the running back. We see it in the draft, right? Teams generally don't take running backs early. I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen. I don't think that's fair. But I think they also realize, you know, hey, if we waste, if you pick a running back top five, top ten, his shelf life is very long, very short,
right.
3 years,
exactly.
4 years. Before, you know, he's used up. He's not that same player anymore. It's not fair to the running back. It's not. Because you could be great all-worldly in those 3-4 years, but you've been so many games, so many hits. Every hit is like a car crash. You know, it takes a toll on the body here. You look at Zeke this year. He's in great shape, right? We've seen him pretty much almost naked with what he's wearing out there. But that's because he also knows the Cowboys can get out of his contract this year. He doesn't have a big year. He's done. He may be done anyway. But he's done if he doesn't have a big year with the Cowboys.
Agreed. And I think that's another incentive for some of these players. You mentioned Zeke Elliott right now. I mean, in terms of being down to 216 pounds, does the Cowboys need Zeke to be that 1,000-yard rusher this year, or could they just get by on Tony Pollard and Zeke rushing for 800 yards? I mean, that's the biggest question. When we break down these running backs, if you take McCaffrey out of Carolina, what's that offense look like with Sam Darnold? If you take Kamara out of New Orleans, that offense is not going to be the same, and now with the situation with Michael Thomas. Take Dalvin Cook out of the Minnesota offense. What does that look like? Take Derrick Henry out of Tennessee. That's the point that I'm trying to say, is that, you know, if you take those players out, you still can't duplicate that type of production that you're getting from those elite backs with some backup. And I think that that's where we're starting to see maybe teams go in a different direction in terms of pounding the rock again.
I don't know if it'll ever change. I don't. You know, like I said, unless the NFL changes some rules, I just don't see it changing. I don't. You know, I think the NFL likes it. The ratings are as high as they've ever been. I think the country wants high-scoring games. They don't want the 17-10 games. That's boring. You know, I'm not saying that's the same for you and I. I like a great game no matter what. But the country wants 41-38 games, all the SportsCenter highlight films, you know, they can show on there, and all the shows coming after the NFL Lives, the Monday Night Countdowns, they can show all the long passes, all the 80-yard scores. You know, that's what they want. No one wants to see a 5 yards here, 5 yards there, 5 yards also. You know, it wants it. I also think what's a big part of it is also, you know, the way to stop a drive, when you get one tackle for loss, now it's second and 12. And once again, you put the team in a bad spot here. And chunk yardage is so important in today's game, right? To get those 10, 12, 20 yards up the field, because it's so hard to matriculate the ball down the field, as Hank Stram would say, without getting a penalty, without a drop pass, without a turnover. So I don't know if this is ever changing. It's certainly not changing anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, I still, from the gambling aspect, give me the team that can run the football. And you look at two teams in particular, right? We people about Cleveland. They're now a 16-1 shot on FanDuel to win the Super Bowl. And you look at Indianapolis, now down to 24-1 to win it. Those are intriguing odds when you think about the type of running backs that they have. So we'll see. When we come back, we'll be breaking down player props, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down the NFL news throughout the training camps, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on Pro Football Full Circle. George, we talked about Michael Thomas earlier in the week, but I do want to bring it up now because we did say that he could potentially miss a month of the season. Now it looks like there's the possibility he can miss at least 8 games this year. When you look at their win total on FanDuel, it's sitting at 9 at minus 115. If you like the over for New Orleans, I don't think this team scratches 9 wins this year. I think they're a sub-500 team with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. But thoughts about Michael Thomas and that injury and how it will affect that offense in 2021?
Yeah, you and I differed here. I thought New Orleans would be, I don't want to say fine without him, but okay without Drew Brees, as long as it was Winston at quarterback and not Hill, or Hill just running his packages here. But I also thought it was imperative that Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara stay healthy and play, 16, 17 games. Now, if Thomas is out, he's out 4 games, I'm scared. 8 games, I'm terrified. You look at the New Orleans Saints receiving corps here. I mean, with Michael Thomas, obviously he's one of the best in the game, maybe the best. See, it's a good group. Without him, my God, Joe, are we talking the worst group in the NFL? There's just nobody there.
They're bad. They are bad. I told you, I thought the best wide receiver on that core was Lil Jordan Humphrey from Texas, second-year player. They didn't utilize him enough last year. He's a big body, but I agree with you. How are they going to push the ball vertically with either Taysom or Jameis when you don't have speed on the outside? They have small receivers that basically play the slot. Everything's going to have to be short to intermediate early on. You're going to have to utilize Kamara in the slot and mismatch him on linebackers to stretch defenses vertically and then try to run football with Latavius Murray. I really don't understand how this offense is going to work. That's going to be the biggest question mark heading into the first month of the season. But does it linger, George? That's the question. Does Michael Thomas come back after 5 games, 8 games, 10 games? Does he want out of New Orleans now? It just gets that feeling. We talked about, why did he get the surgery so late? And we made the discussion in terms of, well, maybe he got a second opinion. I mean, he got the surgery, a month and a half ago? Why so late? If he knew that this was a situation that you wanted to resolve before the start of the season?
Oh, I think that's a very fair question. Very fair question. If I'm the Saints, I'm a Saints fan, I'm ticked. I'm pretty angry right now that he did this. Now, you're right. Maybe he tweaked the injury. It got worse. It's not working. But to wait that long when now you're missing games, I would be peeved. To put it nicely, I'd be peeved. Without him, you mentioned a little Jordan Humphrey. Everybody else on the depth chart is Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris, Marquez Callaway, Chris Hogan, Kawan Baker, Juwan. Are you kidding me? It's not like you have a great tight end. There's no Travis Kelce here. It's Adam Trautman, Nick Vinette, Garrett Griffin. It's just not good. It's just not good. I believe they signed or might be signing was Hogan. So, yay!
Yeah, but Hogan was a professional lacrosse player. He was in the professional lacrosse league 3 months ago. He played it in New England.
This is sad. I mean, you mentioned Kamara. Oh, if I'm a defense, I'll put a cornerback on him. He winds up in the slot. There's no way I let Kamara beat me. No way. I'm taking him out of the game. I am taking him out. If you can beat me with these wide receivers that we just named here, if you can beat me with Trautman, God bless you. Then my team's terrible. but there's no way I let Kamara beat me. No way. And I'll tell you one thing. If I'm a fantasy owner and I got a fantasy draft coming up, Kamara drops in my rankings because of this.
Well, here's the thing, George. I'm glad you brought him up because we talked about him earlier in the week in the sense of 950 and a half rushing yards at minus 112. He might not get there. He had 83 receptions last year, did his damage. He was over 900 yards rushing. That was with Drew Brees. Without Michael Thomas for a month, with a new quarterback, no outside threat, he might only get to 700-800 yards, might catch 60 passes, which is basically pedestrian, not just for the player props, from the fantasy perspective as well. That offense might only average like 20 points per game this year.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I think it'd be a very trying year because, like I said, it's just basic. It's obvious. It's logic. It's the only player you're worried about. Only player without Michael Thomas is Alvin Kamara. That's it. There's no way. I mean, literally, I have two guys on wherever he goes. He's in the backfield, fine. We're playing tomorrow. We're going to stop Kamara. I am forcing Winston, Hill, or whoever to beat me with these wide receivers. Except if you can beat me with Troutman at tight end, hey, you're a better man than I am. Tre'Quan Smith, that's a big game, fine. You know, everything's one-on-one. But everywhere Kamara goes, he's got buddies. He's got my guys going right there with him. I am not letting Kamara beat. It's the way I go. You know, it's one thing that's always made Belichick successful. He always tries to take away the other team's best weapon. And in New Orleans' case, they only have one weapon, right? One, uno. There's no way, like I said, no way on earth I let Kamara beat me.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll see. I think it's a dead under. I told you that with Thomas. I'm selling New Orleans all year. I think they could be the biggest bust of the NFC in 2021. Want to talk about two defensive players that are in the news right now. Arizona and Chandler Jones wants out. He's recorded 49 total sacks from his days in terms of San Francisco and beyond with New England. 2017 to 2019, 49 total sacks. He's due $15.5 million this year. He wants out of Arizona. Does that affect the team moving forward this year? They don't have a defensive presence. Buda Baker might be the best player in terms of that unit right now. They did give him an extension, signed him. They signed DeAndre Hopkins. Win total on FanDuel is 8. Are we buying or selling Arizona based off the Chandler Jones situation?
Oh, contracts. Always drive you nuts. He wants a new contract, right? He wants an extension. He wants more money, more guaranteed money. He's coming off a year in which he tore his biceps.
Right. He's coming off bicep surgery.
So, I'll assume he's fine from that. You know, and I probably would rather have bicep surgery than ankle. Yeah, ankles always bother me because they can twist them so easy and re-injure that. So I'm probably not afraid of that. We all know Chandler Jones, when healthy, he puts up numbers, right? This guy's getting to the quarterback. He's had 5 straight years before last year, before the injury, 5 straight years of at least 11 sacks. Okay. So I'm confident in that. I am confident in that he's going to be able to do a job. He's only 31, so he's not 34, 35. He's only 31 and won't be 32 until February. All right, so age, a factor, but not a major one. Excuse me. I think if I'm Arizona, I'm working it out. I think they'll work it out with him. I don't think he'll be traded, although I don't honestly mind if he is. Be interesting what he goes for here. But I think they'll work it out somehow, and he'll eventually be in camp. So I'm not going to change my thinking yet. You know, now, you talk 3-4 weeks from now, he's still not there. We'll have a different conversation here, but I'm not changing any of my thoughts on Arizona yet. That being said, we all know the defense isn't great anyway. Yeah, but they need Jones. They need Jones. They need J.J. Watt, maybe to be J.J. Watt. And really, if you don't have much in the secondary, but if you can get to the quarterback and make his life miserable after 2.5, 3 seconds, well, you can do some damage there. So right. I think you could say that their season hinges on getting Jones in camp and playing well.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, like I said, he was there in New England and then moved on to Arizona. Did have 49 total sacks. We'll see, because you look at those linebackers, Zaven Collins, you have Isaiah Simmons, young talent, but now they have to live up to expectations. So you need Chandler Jones in that lineup to be effective, I think, in 2021, certainly to surpass the 8 win total that FanDuel puts on them. The other player is Jonathan Allen with Washington. Yeah, I mean, $72 million. brilliant. And when you talk about big bodies, right, those players like Aaron Donald that just force double teams to allow those linebackers to get pressure and fill running lanes, that's a significant signing for them. They need Jonathan Allen to be healthy, motivated, give him his money, because he is the anchor of that defensive line. And I got to be honest with you, this team is headed in the right direction. The defense leads it, but I think the offense can actually pull their weight in 2021 as well.
Well, I think it depends on your definition of pull their weight. All right, I don't think they're going to be a league average offense, so I'm not going there. That being said, they don't need to be. All right, they don't. That defense, in my mind, is the best in the NFL. All right, that front seven is a nightmare. I mean, an absolute nightmare. That'll keep the offensive coordinators up all friggin' night trying to figure out how to stop all these guys. All right, that's a good front seven. Maybe the best we've seen in quite a while. Now, I don't think I would have gone with Ryan Fitzpatrick as my quarterback there, mainly because there are going to be some games where, oh, there's Fitzpatrick. Now, that's Fitzpatrick we always know and love. He's taking too many chances. With that defense, you don't want to take chances. You don't want to give the other team the ball in your own territory. You know, a more conservative quarterback here might have been the way to go here until you get your quarterback of the future, whoever that guy may be. So I have some hesitations there. That being said, if that offense is just average, this team's going to win double-digit games. So then, it's going to be very tough to score more than 21, 24 points against this team on any kind of regular basis. They're sort of the anti-Cowboys, right? We don't know about the offense. We know what defense is great. Cowboys, we know the offense is great. We don't know about the defense. If the defense can be average, Cowboys will be very good as well. Same thing here, but opposite. So I'm curious to see what happens here, but I love this Washington defense.
Yeah, I do too. I wouldn't have went with Fitzpatrick either. I know Washington fans are ecstatic. They feel like they got their guy. This is the guy to lead them to the promised land. We'll see. I would have went with the backup, Taylor Heinicke. He stepped up against Tampa Bay. I know it was one game, but the kid showed heart. Chase Young loved him, right? And that's the type of quarterback that you want. You want that spark plug type of player. I understand the body of work wasn't there. He was out of the NFL, but give the kid a shot. Give the kid a shot to actually lead this team. I will say this, when I looked at the player props for Washington, right? Antonio Gibson, 1,025.5 rushing yards, more than Alvin Kamara. I know he's coming off a minor injury. He says he's 100%. I think he could be one of the best running backs in the NFC this year. This kid's a bruiser, plays with an attitude. I think he could definitely be a 1,000-yard rusher. Give me your thoughts about Antonio Gibson this year.
Well, it's all about staying healthy, because Washington's going to run the ball, right? That's how they're going to win football games, because the defense is going to lock down other teams so they can't score, so you don't need to take too many chances, all right? So you're going to run the football a lot. Eat clock, you know, and protect yourself from, once again, Fitzpatrick throwing those interceptions. So I'm sort of with you here. But that being said, I think the number's right on the mark. I don't think this is a lock. I don't think he's going to run for 1,300 yards. No, I don't think that. But I think he could get the over. I do like the over. I lean towards the over, but I don't love it.
It doesn't shock you, though, George, that he has a higher number than Kamara. I know Kamara splits carries. He catches the football as well. But when you just look at both players, I mean, Antonio Gibson was a dynamic player for them down the stretch, right? And, you know, you look at that game on Thanksgiving, he just wore down the Dallas Cowboys, had 3 touchdowns. The key for him is staying healthy. But I think when you look at the pieces around him, he could be that Chris Carson type of player in 2021. No, he can't be a 1,400 or 1,500-yard rusher with the extra game.
I appreciate you letting me know how my Thanksgiving was ruined last year. Appreciate that so much. Yeah, call another fake punt, Mike. Let me know how that worked out. I think the difference where you're going to compare Gibson to Kamara is that, you said it, Latavius Murray's there. So they're going to be splitting some carries there. And they are going to have to put Kamara, I think, in more pass routes, especially without Michael Thomas there. So I'm on board. I think I would have Gibson higher as well as far as rushing yardage here. I think Washington's going to run the ball a ton. So I don't mind the over at all here, because they're going to have to run to sort of protect that defense.
Yeah, keep an eye out for Washington in 2021, a definite contender in the NFC East. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Sports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we talked about the Aaron Rodgers situation in terms of him reporting to camp today. Let's look at the week one game then, George. We talked about New Orleans and Michael Thomas just before. Both of these teams square off. FanDuel has Green Bay as a short favorite right now, -2.5 at -110 on the road. It's a 4 o'clock kick. Are you taking Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Or are you going to take Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston with the 2.5 as a home dog?
It'd be really tough to take New Orleans right now. I mean, you don't even know who's going to be a starting quarterback, Winston or Hill. They have no one to throw to anyway. No, give me Green Bay. I think relax, as Rodgers would say. I think Green Bay is going to be just fine here. I think they take care of business. They beat New Orleans last year, even with Breeze, and a full compliment. Give me the Pack.
Yeah, I'm with you. -2.5 on the road. I guess the biggest question is the total. It's pretty high for that game, right? 37-30 last year. It's 50.5. Without Michael Thomas in that lineup, the uncertainty with the quarterbacks for New Orleans, I think I would lean to the under in that matchup. It's -110 on both sides, 50.5.
Yeah, we're lock stock here. I'm with you as well. I don't know if I'll bet it right now. I think I might want to see a little bit more, but I certainly lean towards the under. Listen, this could easily be a wipeout. 35-10 wouldn't shock me. 35-13, it wouldn't shock me at all here if New Orleans has a little trouble here on both sides of the ball. But definitely give me the Pack. This would be one of my favorite bets as far as Green Bay.
Favorites? Really? I don't know about favorite. They're -142 on the money line. You know what that means? We're both on Green Bay. We're both on the over. That means New Orleans in a rout,
Saints
and the over
1-0.
Comes in, right?
It means the Saints the start 1-0. That's what it means.
Yes, yeah, Saints, Taysom Hill, 7 touchdowns, outduels Aaron Rodgers on Sunday afternoon in the dome there. That's incredible when you think about that. The fact that it's under 3, George, has me concerned. I will say that, just from the gambling aspect. We'll see. Stay with us all week right here on Pro Football Full Circle. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.